surprised the guard let you in.
I come so often. He knows me well, Socrates. Anyway, I have been kind to him.
Have you just arrived?
No. I've been here for some time.
And why do you sit there saying nothing? Why didn't you wake me up?
I envy your ability to sleep, Socrates. I wish I myself were not so sleepless and filled with sorrow. I've been marveling at your peaceful slumber. I didn't wake you because I wanted you to remain without pain as long as possible. I have always considered your calm temperament to be a source of happiness. But I've never seen anything like the easy, cheerful way in which you bear this calamity.
Crito, a person my age shouldn't agonize over the prospect of death.
Other people are in similar situations, but their age doesn't keep them from agonizing.
I suppose not. But you haven't told me why you are here so early.
I came to bring a sad and painful message. Perhaps not sad to you, but to all of your friends, and saddest of all to me.
What news? Oh, I suppose the ship has arrived from Delos, indicating that it's time for me to die.
The ship hasn't actually arrived, but it will probably be here today. I talked with some people who left the ship at Sunium. Therefore, tomorrow will be the last day of your life, Socrates.
If that is the will of the gods, Crito, I am also willing, but I think there will be a delay.
Why do you say that?
I'll tell you. Am I not to die on the day after the ship arrives?
Yes, that's what the authorities say.
Then I don't think the ship will be here until tomorrow. I base this on a dream I had in the night just a short while ago, while you fortunately allowed me to sleep.
Tell me about the dream.
I dreamed that a beautiful woman, clothed in a white gown, called to me and said, "Socrates, on the third day you will come to Pythia."
What a strange dream, Socrates.
Well, there's no doubt about the meaning, Crito.
Yes, the meaning is only too clear. But Socrates, my dear friend, let me beg you once more to take my advice and escape. If you die, I will not only lose a friend who can never be replaced, but I'll suffer another evil as well. People who don't know you and me will believe that I might have saved you if only I had been willing to come up with the money. They'll think I didn't care about you. What could be a worse disgrace than that? The people should think that I value money more than the life of a friend. The majority will never realize that I wanted you to escape, but that you refuse.
My dear Crito, why should we care about the opinion of the majority? Thoughtful people will conceive of these events as they really happened, and they are the only ones worth considering.
Don't you see, Socrates, that we must consider the opinion of the majority? That's obvious in your own case. If they form a bad opinion of you, they can do you the greatest harm.
I wish that were so, Crito, because then they could also do the greatest good. But the truth is, they can do neither. They cannot make a person either wise or foolish. Whatever they do is a product of chance.
I won't argue with you about that. But tell me, Socrates, are you acting out of concern for me and your other friends? Are you worried that if you escape, someone may inform on us and we will get into trouble for having helped you? Are you afraid that we might lose our property or suffer something even worse? If that's your fear, put it aside. We certainly ought to run an even greater risk than that in order to save you. So let me persuade you to do as I say.
Crito, I do have that fear, but it's not the only one.
Well, then stop worrying. I've found some people who are willing to get you out of here at no great cost. As for the informers, they are not asking much. A little money will satisfy them. I have more than enough money for this purpose, and it's at your disposal. If you hesitate to spend only my money, some of your friends from abroad have volunteered theirs. Simmius the Theban has brought a large sum for this very purpose. Cebes.